Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord God, this morning we say the entrance of your word brings life, light, understanding. And even says, even to the simple, there is no complication in the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Once we understand the nature and the character of God Almighty, we can flow with you. We can walk with you. Lord, like the song which I love, just a closer walk with Jesus. I'll walk with God from this day on. That's a decree. That is an intention. It's intentional living. That's what it's all about. The life in Christ Jesus. The vision of God at once becomes the vision of God for our lives. Lord, today we thank you that your spirit is here, for we have gathered together in the name of Jesus, and where two or more are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of us. We give you honor and praise and worship in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we also want to say hello to the people, vastly more people watching on the internet webcast than are in the building here with us. And so we want to say to the people from around the world, do go along. And you can actually on the Facebook webcast, it's there also. It should be on Twitter. I don't know if Twitter is up or down today, but it should be on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. We're webcasting and people are watching, particularly in the mornings towards the east. And we want to welcome all those people towards India, China, and the Far East. And all the people that from here that way, I suppose. And Europe's woken up now. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and verse number 17. I'm going to take you from the beginning to the end of the Bible. I want you to know that God's got a beginning, but God's also, he declares the end from the beginning. And I want you to know that God's got an end vision. I call that end vision. Many years ago, we had a lecture on the subject of envisioning. But God knows the end from the beginning. And God wants to take you to the place where you'll ultimately land up, the place of his blessedness, the place of rest, and the place of your eternal inheritance. So, dear friends, this morning from Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 17, I read these words. And then I'm going to read 16 just to bring the context in it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall death. It literally means you'll die physically, but inside of you something else is going to happen, because you need after that, should that happen, there would be a savior that would be necessary to come and save you, because you will be dead in your very spirit. You have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. These two people, the very first two people, had a commandment from God. Now, we do know that if we love God, we will keep his commandments. And here, they had a choice. Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Everybody say knowledge. Now, dear friends, having that in mind, keeping that there, let's go to the book of Revelation, right? We should go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. This morning, sessions are tight, and so because of that, because of time constraints, we have to move, and I'm just going to take it from the New King James. I think it's going to go quicker if we read it there in the New King James. So let's see here. It's Revelation chapter 19, verse number 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters. English word for that, the Message Bible, is cataract. Means like a mighty waterfall. Go to the Victoria Falls or the Falls of Iguazu Falls. That's in South America. It's a stunner to go to that and see the mass of that water. It's even bigger than the Victoria Falls. 8 kilometers of 350 curtains of falling water, then you know water is going down. the sound of many waters as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. Everybody say, end vision. And his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said these words to me. These are the true sayings of God up to that point. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We know that the marriage supper of the Lamb is on schedule, as everything with God remains on schedule. Now, dear friends, this morning I want to talk to you about, you know, many years ago at university I studied various things, and also in Bible school we went on. You take a theme like, for example, a blood covenant. You could roll the blood covenant right from the beginning all the way to the book of Revelation, and you'll find that it all has to do with covenant, and it all has to do with, as a central theme, you can actually develop a whole books on just that subject of the covenant. You could take, let's say, a subject of faith, and you could start with faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Faith works by love. You can begin with that, and you can take that strand and pull it all the way through. But I want to give you another strand that you could pull all the way through, which I believe is the unlocker. I really believe is what I call these days the mother load, because the prophetic vision that God gives to us is working here, right? What I'm going to talk about this morning. Prophetic vision. The Bible says, the book of 1 John, it says, he who walks in love walks in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Okay? The Bible says, he who walks in hatred walks in darkness, and he knows not where he goes. Hatred stacked upon hatred increases darkness upon darkness until all vision is finally closed out. But yet, if you decide to walk, and you walk with God, and you walk the way God said to you to walk, and you obey his commandments, then of course everything changes. Now this is amazing here. They make a choice, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they choose it above the tree of life, because everlasting life was now part of them. There's no cause for them to die, and they would just live on. But there came a commandment, and there is an obedience, and God said in the book of John, we'll get to that, says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But they don't do that, and they choose knowledge above life. Now, at the moment, you could say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you could take that spiritually, and you could take that experientially. You could take it in many, many ways, and we all have our concept of what we understand by the tree of the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. And Romans chapter 8, verse number 16 says, the Spirit also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit witness is there, and the knowledge of this is wrong, that is right. You find that even in sinners. But I want to take it purposely. I want to take it a little bit broader this morning. There are many other things that through sense knowledge that we gain, not revelation knowledge necessarily. Through sense knowledge, we get to the point where we say, well, you know, this is bad, this is good. Or we know, we read, we accumulate them. The sum total of earth's knowledge outside of the kingdom of God is basically based upon sense knowledge. I'm not talking about, I'm now excluding anything about the kingdom of God purposely. You go to the libraries, you go to places where they have all kinds of data that floats around right under our noses, broadcast. It's going out on the internet as I'm speaking now, around the world, everywhere people are watching. The accumulation of all of this knowledge is what many people, knowledge of things that attract them so much that they go away from God, they start disobeying God. And so we find that they choose this knowledge rather than obedience. Now, the word obedience impacts their relationship with God. We need to understand your relationship with God is the prime factor. You know, somebody, Not just one, just a few cases. I spoke to men of God that went out in ages gone by. They, I was a young Christian in those days. And those Christians used to talk about the fact and say that, all of this, if you want to walk with God, then all of this comes down to one thing. It comes down to a central issue that you have to have a strong relationship with God. Everybody say relationship. So if you have relationship with God, that's the thing to treasure. Your communion with the Holy Spirit, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, your relationship. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We can get to that. But it's very important to understand that your relationship with God is based upon not choosing anything else, but choosing to love God. Now, Jesus, when Moses gave the first of the Ten Commandments, he gave it on Mount Horeb in the wilderness. That's in Exodus chapter number 20. He begins with the words, I am the Lord your God that led you out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And he spends the first part of the Ten Commandments. We can quote that, but for time-wise, we just leave that there. He spends the first part of the Ten Commandments on the subject of loving him. And then he comes to the second part of the Ten Commandments and he gets to things like, you will not steal, you will not murder. That's all to do with your fellow man. And so when they asked him, what is the great commandment? He said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all that is within you, and love your fellow man as yourself. How? As yourself. That's how you do it. And I think that is the most underestimated, undervalued statement of all statements in the New Testament that Jesus gave us. Because he goes along and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. He goes on, no greater love has man than this, than that he would lay down his life for another. There exists no greater love than this, said the Lord. Excuse me. So in the process, he said, hereby all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love. How do people see that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you have love for one another. So love becomes profound because he who walks in love walks in the light. And in him there is no cause of stumbling. I had found after years of research, because I've been at it for years, years of research that comes and tells me one thing, because you're always trying to get a step closer, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. I'll walk with God from this day on, always searching more and more of him and less of me. I would like to get closer to God. I'd like to understand in all of this context of his beginning, where man chose knowledge and came to a fall, and disobedience and came to a fall. And then, of course, Jesus comes, and he's well aware of all of our sins. Make no mistake, he knows everyone's sins. He knows what you've done wrong in life. But let me tell you this morning that even though he knows that, you know, all of the sins of all of the world, that's the very reason Jesus came. He came to save you. He came to save you from whatever you've done wrong. So now God sees you in accordance with your end vision. He sees you as his special treasure. He sees you as the royal priesthood, kings and priests of our God. He sees you filled with his Spirit. He sees you as a temple of the Holy Spirit. He sees you as a child of God, more than a conqueror, joint heir with Christ, accepted in the Beloved, overcoming the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's how he sees you. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Now let me say this to you. There is nobody here in this building. I don't care where you come from around the world. You can be from the east to the west. Those people watching us from all the places on the planet. And there are a lot of people I know these days are watching us out of Arabia and the Arabian countries. They're also watching because they have the same hunger. Everybody wants to get to God. Now the first thing you need to understand is that God wants to know that you love him. And 1 John 4 verse 8, 1 John 4 verse 16 says, God is love. So I have to understand this strand that runs all the way. If you now look at this strand that runs all the way, there are many things one could say about it. Comes to mind just the scripture here, which I didn't read in the first session, but maybe I should read it here. And if I can get it for you very quickly. Yeah, this is very good. And that's in Romans 8:28. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. That's why we can be so sure, Message Bible. We can be so sure that every detail of our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Romans 8:29. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Listen to that. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of lives there in him. All right? After God made, verse 30, that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling his people by name. And he called them all by name. And he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end. Amazing way, amazing rendition, just right there in the book of the Message Bible, which is highly paraphrased, but I just like the way that it puts it across there. You need to understand you have dignity. You need to understand you're God's special treasure. You need to understand, no matter from where you are, got some visitors here this morning, no matter where you come from, that God loves you, God cares for you, God loves you. That's how important you are. Now, I need you to just catch something which I said at the end of the first service. And always the first service is like, you get with your feet in the water and it's like you try this thing out and then you understand that there are certain things you had to include. So I've already included some stuff which I didn't give in the first session, but don't let those people know about it. Otherwise, they come back for another session and the third session. And the fact is that he loves you. You're his special treasure. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar people. You have dignity that no man can take away from you. You're loved of God, and you're the agents of that love. You're to give away that love to people. You're to love your fellow man how much? Even as you love yourself. That's what he says. Hereby men will know that you're my disciples. Now, we know the disciple is from the Greek word matheteo, which means a taught one or a trained one or a scholar, actually. And then you get to that place of we're always disciples, really, because we're always reading the Word of God, always studying for something new. That God is saying to you today, the world that you live in is filled with opportunities to lead people. See, if you love him, and you understand the purpose why he came and his end vision, to fill up the marriage supper of the Lamb, to populate heaven. And as Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, said, to plunder hell and the souls of people that are suffering. I want to pray a lot this evening for people with all kinds of problems. I just feel in my heart to do that because people come with a lot of pains, and even now I'm aware of these things, that if you just learn to love people, if you just learn, you are surrounded with opportunities all the time. Go to a restaurant, somebody comes and serves you in the restaurant. I normally focus in on their names because their names tell a lot about them. It's all in the name. Find out what's in that name. And if you go to the Paleo-Hebrew, you go to the ancient manuscripts and the Greek and the Latin and all the other languages that work together, Germanic nations, you can actually very quickly, regardless of the language, you can actually construct what that name is all about, what that person's name means. And I would normally comment about that. Did you know that your name means, taking it back to the ancient languages, do you know what your name means? And then I would explain to them what their name means. And I would instantly have an opening to their heart. And then it's time to just become extravagant and give them the love of God. And just tell them that Jesus loves them. And give them something and say, Jesus loves you. Even if you give a tip in the restaurant, Jesus loves you. Because we are the agents of his love. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're spreading the fragrance of the kingdom. We are the people of the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. So, dear friends, know this today, that you are in a position where you can change lives. You need to work on the people that are surrounding you. If you've received the fullness of God in your life, it's time to give, and it shall be given to those who have. See, Pentecost, which we've just come through, is not just, hey, this has been good. I just come to the Pentecost. We had 7 days or 8 days from Sunday to Sunday. We had a great time here, and I was empowered to do what? See, if your heart is filled with love towards your fellow man, and you see somebody suffering, the moment you walk in love, I repeat these words, because it's highly, highly important in the prophetic revelation. He who walks in love walks in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Love causes light to shine upon your, can I say, spiritual vision. You look at somebody, you focus on that person, and you strike up a conversation with that person, you begin to find out those people are all important. There's not a person, I don't see a person that is unimportant. That's why we can pray as Kingdom of God citizens for all people, from the top of the government down, for the nation. We are surrounded with people going through troubled times. See, through Genesis chapter number 2, verse 17, which I was reading there, 16 I started, and then I read 17. All the way through to the book of Revelation chapter number 19 up to verse number 10, where it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Actually, the story goes on. It's not even there fulfilled, because they have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we see how that he's told by the angel, come, let me show you the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife, and then he takes him in Revelation chapter number 21. I think it is verse number 9. He says, and I beheld, I saw the city of gold, the city of God, descending as a bride. A city is only a city when it's lived in, when somebody inhabits it. We know from studying that there is what you call city status is only given if there is a certain amount of people. In modern terminology, you have to have a certain, in my days, they used to, in the old days, can I almost say, they had 70, if you had 25,000 people in a place, it used to be called a city. Now it's, I think, gone right up, because now much more, or many more people come into the various cities, they live there. So you see that the end vision of God is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and taking you into the place where God dwells and living in the light of the Almighty God. He's got an end vision for you. Now, in between the two, there's a lot of troubled waters. Are you listening to me now? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm quoting here from Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, but the Lord, but God. Everybody say, but God. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. The focal point or the focus of life is not necessarily to focus on the bad news of the world around you, which people do all the time, and you have around the planet ham-fisted politicians everywhere in every nation that are completely godless, know not God, know not where they goeth. They don't know, because they have not yet received the love of Christ in their hearts. They're not temples of the Holy Spirit as yet. God on the inside of them is talking to them. He's drawing them. They're waiting for the opportunity when somebody would come and say to them, have you heard of Jesus? And bring them to the Lord so they can become part of this great assembly in Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the spirits of the just made perfect. Dear friends, today I want to say to you that Jesus Christ alone is capable of taking you out of that place of darkness and bring you into the light. But you need to understand, if you want to hear God, you're going to have to get rid of hatred, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, judgment, criticism. You know, judgment is like this. You don't need any anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit to judge anybody. How many of you know that? There is no anointing of the Holy Spirit upon man judging another man. That's God's job to do that. But the devil will help with that. But God's people, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I do not have love, I am but. And I'm going to paraphrase purposely by myself and say these words. I'm just making a noise. But once you love, you become interested. If you love another person as you love yourself, you want to talk to that person. You strike up a conversation. We have to mobilize the spirit of love within the body of Christ. Once we have done that, we're capable of touching hearts and touching heaven and changing all those things that are there. Now, I want to focus finally on something which I think that it's quite possible to love God real strong. How many of you believe that it's possible to love God real strong? Now, I want to take you to the character. First, now we've learned. Let's just do a little recapitulation here. We have learned 1 John 4 verse 16, those two verses. And of course, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He knows about your sins. He's paid for it. That's why he came to save you. And once he's saved you, he's empowered you by his Holy Spirit. Once he's empowered you that you might be his witnesses. And when you are his witnesses, you are busy bringing people from the outside into the kingdom of God. And you know what? Without being born again, no one can see the kingdom of God. But when you are in the kingdom of God, you're to convert to a life of extravagant God-type love towards all of your fellow men, everybody. Everybody around you. Now, there's a man in the Bible that, in my opinion, came closest to God in many, many respects. And he's called by many John the Beloved, the Apostle John. Now, just to give you a few verses here very quickly here in our time chasing me always with these short services in the mornings. It says these words. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. This is John the Apostle. John 19:26, when Jesus, another verse, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." John 20, verse 2, then she ran and she came to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they've laid him." John 21 verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. John 21, 20 just goes on. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now, we know this, that this was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we do find, one translation says he leaned on his shoulder. Another one says he leaned on his bosom. He was able to lean on his bosom. And he got that close because Jesus loved him and he just loved Jesus. And he could pick up the heartbeat of the master. Now, this opens spiritual eyes like nothing else. Relationship with God becomes the focal point. You see, it's not just knowledge. You see, we've accumulated knowledge through the years. I'm a researcher. I spend my life researching. And it's not knowledge that cuts it. You cannot crack it with knowledge alone. Definitely not. It's relationship with God. And that relationship with God has got to be so strong because of your love for God. That relationship with God has got to be the most treasured thing that you have. It's the prime order. It's the prime thing that Jesus gave as a commandment. He said, you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and everything that you are. Just everything. And then, second, like unto it, your neighbor, even as yourself. And so, when you look at this, you see this man loved God, he loved the Lord Jesus, and the Lord allowed him to put his his head and lean on his bosom. Having said that, the same man was around. He was the youngest of all the disciples who then became the apostles. And you know what? He was called Boanerges, which is in Hebrew and Aramaic, is really means the sons of thunder, referring to exploding tempers. They were filled with a high, can I say, temperament that was explosive. They would just do things and explode and let people have another piece of their mind, as we would say in modern terminology. But how many of you know that when you step into the presence of the Christ, change is imminent? Change happens. He ends up from Boanerges to John the Beloved. You see, if you love people, you won't have difficulty as many other people have in this life. I actually feel sorry for so many of politicians around the planet. I look at them and I feel sorry for them, because I know that they're not going with the kind of a wisdom. They haven't got the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. And they don't have that kind of revelation. John the Beloved, I sat at his grave in the city of Ephesus, and I thought, wow. But though he knew Jesus, love has no limits. The God kind of love, the agape, has no limits, I tell you people. It has no limits. He was in for a surprise. I was on the island of Patmos, and there was a grave. Actually, there's a grave at Ephesus. Then I sat at the grave of John, and then I went across to Patmos. There's the island, and you go with a zigzag road up all this beautiful place. You go to the top, and there's a cave. And in the cave, there's like a chip in the wall, and you just put your hand in that chip, and that's where he lied on his face, and he was busy praying on the Sunday, the first day of the week. When suddenly heard from him a sound as of a mighty waterfall, as a mighty trumpet. We'll read it in a moment's time. I stood in that place, and we had church in that place. There's a monastery there, but it's built over the cave of John the Beloved. He lived the longest of all the apostles. But though he knew Jesus enough to get that close to Jesus, Jesus had a special surprise for him, because he was destined to receive the revelation of revelation. That love gave him the book of Revelation. Let's read. I read from the Message Bible in Revelation chapter number 1, verse 9. I'll mention the verses as I go along. You can compare. I, John, was with you all the way in the trial and the kingdom and the passion and patience in Jesus. I was on the island called Patmos because of God's word, the witness of Jesus. Verse 10. It was Sunday, and I was in the Spirit praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing. Verse 11. Write what you see in a book. Send it to the seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned and I saw the voice. I saw a gold menorah with seven branches, and in the center, the Son of Man, in a robe and a gold breastplate, hair a blizzard of white, eyes pouring, fire blazing, both feet furnace fired in bronze, his voice a cataract. That means like that sound that you would get from a mighty waterfall, like the Vic Falls, or when we have the Falls du Iguaçu, or up in Canada and the border between Canada and America. There is the other one, the Niagara Falls. In his right hand holding seven stars, his mouth a sharp biting sword, his face as a perigee sun. Somebody say, what does that mean? Perigee, apogee, perigee means when the sun's at its closest in the orbits of the solar system. Perigee is the sun is closest to the earth, and so the brightest it becomes. Perigee sun, his face shining brighter than the normal sun would shine. Now, verse 17. This is the man that was leaning on the bosom of Jesus. Verse 17. I saw this and I fainted dead at his feet. Love's got a revelation. It'll take you off your feet. Come on now. Might as well say amen, or you're going to have to say oh my. It's one of the two. But one thing we know, love causes you to see spiritually. Hatred causes you to go blind. Bitterness, unforgiveness brings blindness. But love opens up your eyes. Now he sees Jesus in the fullness of his glory. And listen to what the master is saying to him. I fainted at his feet, and his right hand pulled me upright, and his voice reassured me. Don't fear. I am first, I am last, I am alive, I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand. They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates. Now write down everything you see, the things that are and the things about to be. The things you've seen, the things which are, and the things which must take place hereafter. There's a little piece here which I didn't include there. It's like the Revelation chapter before where you have, then I heard a voice from heaven saying these words, come up here and I'll show you the things which must take place after this. An elevation, even to a higher level, the heavenly realm where you could see the entire book of Revelation. But you have to take hold of the love string, the love strand, and pull it all the way through. If you put on, let me try to explain it this way. If you see it as God sees it, because God is love, you see how he talks to those seven churches. You read that, you read it again, you read it again, but you're looking for love in it all. There's that woman Jezebel. I gave her time to repent, but she would not. Therefore, I give her over to a bed of sickness. Those who committed fornication with her. There's always this, even Jezebel, he gives time to repent because God so loved the world. You see, your significance is not whether or not you've got knowledge or giftedness or you're good at sport or you're good at something or you're playing music or you play the guitar. Your significance is because you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And if you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you are a walking temple. And if you're a walking temple, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You have the love of God. If you let that out, your eyes open. You have somebody standing in front of you. At the moment you love that person unconditionally, you begin to, can almost say, just waste God's love upon them. You never waste that, actually, but it's just, I'm just trying to explain it. Sometimes it's difficult to explain these things because these are really spiritual principles. And the moment you shower that person with the love of God, you break the hardest of the hardest hearts, like nuts. There's a thing called the nutcracker. Just break that heart because of your love. Because that person's significant, for Christ died for them also. And the moment, you see, maybe I should just say this to you. Maybe I can get that verse here. I don't know if I've got it here. But there it says, let me just see here. Yeah, I got it. Hallelujah. Amplified Bible. It's in the book of Galatians 5:6. Listen to this one. For if we are, Amplified Bible, if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or nor uncircumcision counts for anything. But only faith. Everybody say faith. Now what about faith? Activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Let me read that again. Faith, how does it really work? It works powerfully when it's activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. So, brother, I want to pray for that sickness, whatever it is. I just want to pray for you because I love you enough. And God is showing me that you've got a burden. You've been struggling. Maybe God doesn't give me that much detail, but he gives me enough to go to that person and say, you know what? I love you with the love of Jesus Christ, and I see you struggling. Let's pray together. Would you like to have a prayer? We had people complete the prayer card. Some are still coming in. And you know what? You know what? In that, I walked with that box, huge box full of prayer cards, and I held it over my heart. The high priest Aaron walked with a breastplate, with the stones over his heart, with the Urim and the Thummim, and he would counsel with God, and he would carry Israel on his heart. I walked with that box, I prayed, and then I brought it to the pastors, and we prayed. Now you've got a whole army praying for you. But it means nothing if we don't love you. You see, your prayer for your husband, your wife, your child, whoever it is, the moment it is stained with unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever the case may be, it doesn't work like it should work. Faith is energized. It's activated by love. And so what did John the Beloved see? What was the revelation of revelation? It was the fact that there's an end time vision. You're on the road. You might have trouble now. You might have difficulty now. You might have all sorts of problems. But I want to tell you something. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm not even going to read it because my time is up. Are you listening to me? Ivrecheta vishmarecha. Vehashem lecha. Shalom. Let us stand. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. I just said, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, and grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
for more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.